This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you ready?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
You have to be intelligent.
Coming from a man who once dyed his hair blue.
Oh, that was way harsh.
He's not afraid to tell you how it is.
It is my show.
Boom, boom, boom.
His favorite player of all time is Rob Mikowiak.
You gotta be baiting me.
Okay, we might have made that up. You're listening to Kevin Zepak.
Wheels come off the Joe Madden hippie van that they're riding around in.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is indeed 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zepak. I'm here most Sundays, kind of like this one, and I'll be here until 9 o'clock, taking you up to the new Hit and Run program. It's new, but it's also old, because Matt Spiegel is once again the host of the great weekly baseball program here on The Score, and if this weather clears up, then Spiegs will take you up to Cubs pregame show, which is scheduled to kick off with Zach Zabin around 12:45 this afternoon. Of course, weather permitting is the important part of that statement there. If you've just woken up and if you've, you know, maybe let the dog out or you went outside to grab the newspaper, to grab coffee, whatever your Sunday morning routine is, you've probably muttered out a few expletives once you were faced with this weather that we're having today. It is a little snowy, it's a little cold, it's a little windy. It's not ideal, but hopefully that clears up and the Cubs can get a baseball game in today. They need to start a new winning streak because they were defeated yesterday. I will talk about that. I'll talk about the White Sox. Got a little NBA stuff I want to get to, but first want to lead off with the Masters. And you may be as shocked as I am that I'm starting my show off with coverage of the Masters today. But, you know, when Tiger Woods is in the mix on a Sunday in any major tournament, it's a pretty big deal, and it transcends the normal boundaries of golf interest, in my opinion. And especially when Tiger is in the mix at Augusta, it takes on a whole different life. So I do want to talk a little bit about that. The phone number here, 312-644-6767, if you'd like to involve yourself in the conversation. If you've got any thoughts on what's going on at the Masters this weekend, or, of course, the Cubs, the White Sox as well, 312-644-6767 is how you contact us there via telephone line. You can send us a text message, 67011. You send us a text. I will likely read it, unless it's mean-spirited, and then I'll just read it silently to myself and maybe tweet it out. But you can send us a text that way. And, of course, you can always tweet us as well. You can find me on Twitter at Kevbo _. My producer is Eli Hershkovitz. Eli, what is your Twitter?
At Eli Herskovich.
Thank you very much for that. You are as consistent as the day is long, sir, and you are a great man. At 8 o'clock, we're going to bring in Chris Swick from Yahoo Sports. He's been on the show a couple times, a great baseball writer, Chicago guy, as people like to say. He's from Chicago, moved away, recently moved back to Chicago. So, again, weather permitting, we'll get Chris in the studio here to talk some baseball from 8 to 9. Looking forward to having a big conversation with him about, of course, the Cubs and the White Sox and a couple of other things around Major League Baseball as well. The Cubs were defeated by the Angels yesterday, a score of 6-5. Tried to come back late in that game. Kyle Schwarber struck out with a couple runners on to end the game. A somewhat questionable call. It was a check swing. Third base umpire rung up Kyle Schwarber. He did not react calmly to that strikeout. Of course, Joe Madden sticking up for his guy after the game with some comments on that as well. But to me, it looked pretty clear, like it was a swing. But the Cubs did lose 6-5. They dropped to 5-9. Now in last place in the National League Central. And even though it's just April 14th, I don't think any of us expected the Cubs to be in last place in the National League Central. The White Sox were also defeated yesterday by a score of 4-0 by the Yankees. Just one hit on the day for the White Sox yesterday in a game in which Ivan Nova pitched pretty well. Sox star gave the team a decent chance to win, but the offense just could not muster anything off of the Yankees pitching staff yesterday. Special shout out to Herb Lawrence, Brendan McCaffrey, and Chris Tannehill, who are in New York this weekend, and they were in attendance at that game yesterday, which is why I blame them for the White Sox not being able to muster anything offensively, because Friday was our first Eloy Jimenez game of the season, of his career, hopefully the first of many, where Eloy went yard twice on Friday night, and then you get Herb, B-Mac, and Tanny there on Saturday, and the offense completely peters out. So I definitely blame all three of them for causing that. And NBA playoffs yesterday got started as well. A couple of upsets with Brooklyn defeating Philadelphia in Game 1 of their series. Orlando beat Toronto in Game 1 of their series. San Antonio over Denver, that was an upset as well. But Golden State, of course, the perennial favorite in the NBA playoffs. They beat the Clippers, so no upset there. Back to what I led off with here in the Masters over at Augusta. You know, during the week, of course, you all listen to the Mully and Haw show, I'm sure. It's a lovely program, and you hear some of the banter between myself and executive producer Dustin Rhodes. And if you know anything about Dustin, he is a big golf guy. And he's a little bit of a strange guy in that he's got these, well, certain viewpoints about what you should and shouldn't wear at certain points and in certain scenarios. Dustin was furious this past week because Tiger Woods was not wearing a collar at the Masters. And Dustin's theory was that Tiger would struggle all weekend long because he was not wearing a collared shirt. And this is Augusta, and Dustin was so appalled and taken aback by it, and it was the end of the world. I don't think the lack of a collared shirt has held Tiger Woods back at all at the Masters this weekend. As we sit here, and by the way, some groups have already teed off. They moved up the tee times a little bit today at Augusta because of some bad weather they're having over there. No snow like here, but apparently there will be a torrential downpour at Augusta later on. So they are trying to move this up. They're trying to get it in. They're trying to close this thing off. So some groups have already teed off at the Masters, but looking at the leaderboard here, Tiger Woods is 11 under par. He is tied for second place right now going into the final day at the Masters. So he will not have a collar on today again, I'm sure, but I'm sure he will be wearing red because that's what we're used to seeing from Tiger on a big Sunday. We're used to seeing him coming down that hill at Augusta, like just like he did 22 years ago is his first coming out party. And now here we are 22 years later, and he's got a shot at another one.
You've put yourself in contention in the last three major championships. For you, you've referenced the mistakes that you've made on Sundays to prevent you from claiming that 15th major championship title. What's going to be the difference tomorrow to have a different result?
Well, I think just going out there and just seeing what this golf course gives us for right now. There's some weather coming in, and this will be different. You know, normally we have a sleep-in on Sunday if we play well. Tomorrow's going to be an early wake-up call, and get the body going and get the mind ready. And it's going to be a little bit different going off of, you know, two tees, threesomes. And it's just, you know, it doesn't feel like Augusta National. But I remember when Jack finished up his, you know, his last round here, and he finished up on nine. So I guess the precedent has already been set.
And that is the voice of Tiger Woods, as he mentioned. They're changing up his routine a little bit due to the elements. And I'm not a huge traditional golf guy. I do obviously pay attention to the majors. I'll have them on kind of casually around the apartment all weekend long when whether it's, you know, the Open or British Open or the Masters, any of the big ones, I'll keep an eye on. But it's always different for me personally when Tiger Woods is in the mix on Sunday. And like I just brought up, back in 97, when Tiger just had that absolutely insane performance, kind of his coming out party at the Masters back in 1997, you know, that was kind of, I don't want to say when I was coming of age or anything like that, but those were a lot of my formulative years as a sports fan. So really all I know in terms of golf and in terms of Tiger Woods, they kind of go hand in hand. They're synonymous with one another. People my age, and Eli, you're several years younger than me, but I'm sure you're probably in the same boat. When you think golf, you immediately think Tiger Woods, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, obviously he hasn't won a major in so long, but that's the storyline. That's why we enjoy it so much. He was a 17-1 favorite coming in to the Masters, or not a favorite, but at 17-1 odds right. to win. And now he's at 3-1, the second lowest odds right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's insane. Everything that Tiger has been through in his career, from that brilliant stretch of dominance that we saw from him from the late 90s to about the late 2000s, when, of course, he had the drama with his ex-wife, and there was the incident with the crashed car, and maybe there was a golf club put through the window, and he had his personal issues in terms of the prescription drug dependence and the DUI arrest that he had, that embarrassing video. Tiger Woods' life story is going to make a fantastic movie one day, and we are in the driver's seat now, front row seat at the real life drama as Tiger Woods comes down the final day at Augusta one more time at the age of 43 to try to win that first major in God knows how many years. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. If you've got thoughts on the Masters or Tiger, if you got any thoughts on the Cubs or the White Sox as well. You know, for me, like I said, when Tiger's involved, I pay way more attention to golf than I normally would. I want to know if you feel the same way about that. Does Tiger being in the mix on Sunday make you want to get in front of your TV when maybe you wouldn't do so before? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I mean, the television ratings pretty much indicate that that is true, that when Tiger is involved, it's going to be a big boost to their television ratings. But I think that's more of a, you know, a wide swath to paint with. I kind of want to know more here in within the Midwest, within the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs, if the Tiger love is still there, and if you still get that sort of Sunday jolt from Tiger coming down the final day at a master and a, or excuse me at a major, and especially at the Masters, which is the biggest one of all. Speaking of golf, the top 70 players in the world face the ultimate test. New dates, new course, Medina Country Club, August 13th through the 18th, 2019. The BMW Championship and the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs return to Chicago. Exclusive ticket packages are now available. Visit BMWChampionship.com today. Tiger, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia. Get up close for every shot. This is Chicago's biggest golf event of the year. Visit BMWChampionship.com today. Mentioned the phone number is 312-644-6767. If you are up early, getting ready for the Masters here today, as they have moved up the tee times a little bit to accommodate for the weather, the inclement weather that they're going to have there at Augusta today. So we're already underway. Of course, Tiger doesn't tee off until 8:20 this morning, though, so he's got a little bit of time. He's going to be up earlier than he normally would, as he mentioned in that cut we played for you right there. I don't know if that's going to have an effect on his routine or kind of his habits that he has. Obviously, any pro athlete is a creature of habit. I think that goes doubly for golf because there's so much, you know, mechanical and kind of technical stuff that goes into a swing. But I got to say, it's different when Tiger Woods is in the mix. And I think I feel the same way as a lot of different people do. 815 texter chimes in here. And by the way, you can send us a text at 67011. He agrees with me that absolutely, I can only watch golf with Tiger Woods in the mix. And I don't want to know, or excuse me, I don't want to say that I will only watch it if Tiger's in the mix, but I would say that my interest level in it probably like triples if Tiger Woods is in the mix, just because he is so synonymous with golf. You could make the argument that he is the greatest to ever do it, with all respect to guys like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, but it's just, I can't really explain it. Having seen Michael Jordan play here, and obviously it was a little bit not past my time when Michael was here, because I do vividly remember you know, the series against Phoenix and the whole entire third three-peat where they beat Seattle and then Utah twice. So I did see Michael, and I think with Tiger, it's the same sort of thing where he just is, you know, he's got that one name kind of viability. He is synonymous with everything of the sport, And I want to know if you are, one, a Tiger fan, because I don't know if I'd call myself a fan per se, but absolutely respect and admire everything that he's done, not only for the game, but for my own personal interest level as well. 312-644-6767. David is in Elgin, Illinois. Morning, David. What's up?
Good morning. Just, I grew up in Elgin, and just watching Tiger at a young age, like, do what he did, and being able to watch him in contention now after everything he's been through, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, and appreciate the call. Thank you very much, David. And not only the personal stuff that I mentioned that Tiger went through, and the dependency on the prescription pills, and the domestic, let's say, incidents with his wife, but I mean, just the physical toll. I mean, the guy's back was completely ravaged there for a period of time, and people thought that he would never get back to the level to be able to compete consistently again at tournaments, let alone Augusta. And it just really is amazing to see Tiger back, and it kind of makes me feel a little nostalgic for his heyday and his glory days. We'll see if he could put it away this afternoon there at Augusta. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. If you'd like to chime in, get in on the conversation regarding the Masters, regarding Tiger Woods, as he is tied for second today. The final day, he tees off at 8:20. Want to talk a little bit about the Cubs game yesterday with what happened with Kyle Schwarber, and a little bit of concern with another Kyle on the Cubs roster who's gotten off to a slow start as well. And, of course, want to talk a little bit about Eloy Jimenez, his big game Friday night as well at Yankee Stadium. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send us a text message. My name's Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning, taking you up to Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
2.5 cups.
Anybody enjoying this?
Yes, sir.
Listen to the reception.
Standing ovation for the four-time Masters champion, Tiger Woods.
The 3-2 pitch from Cody Allen. Here it is. Low, check swing, strike three, and the ball game is over. The ball game is over. Kyle Schwarber did not swing. He said he did not swing. Kyle is livid right now. He wants to go down and talk it over with Gabe Morales, the third base umpire, but the ball game is over. Schwarber ruled to have swung on a breaking ball in the dirt. The ball game is over. Joe Maddon is out arguing with Gabe Morales. The Angels have beaten the Cubs by a score of 6-5.
From my perspective, I always look and see. I never thought the bat really moved forward. I saw that. You see that check swing where the hands do this, and to me that's not a swing. It's what you do with the barrel. And that's why that's... Everybody's worried about an electronic strike zone. I want an electronic method to control a check swings. That would be much more interesting, and I would prefer that. Let the umpires call the game like they always do. Let's figure out a way to control check swings.
Oh, Joe. God bless you. Welcome back in. That's just such a ridiculous comment. My name is Kevin Zipak. Welcome back on in to 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. On the way in there, you heard the voice of Pat Hughes. You heard it here yesterday on The Score as the Cubs were defeated by the Angels despite their attempt at a late rally. Final score was 6-5. Kyle Schwarber with the check swing strikeout, the final at bat of that game. To me, it did look like he went the way that I've always been told and interpreted. The rule of a check swing is that when the barrel of the bat moves completely across home plate, then it's a swing. And I believe that the replay indicated as such yesterday. Now, of course, Joe Maddon, the manager, is always going to defend his guys, and you have to definitely admire him for that. He's always going to have his players' backs. But I mean, come on, Joe. Now we're calling for not only robot umpires, but you want robot check swing indicators as well. I mean, how many different robotics are we going to have on a baseball field here if Joe Maddon has his way? And the reaction of Kyle Schwarber yesterday after striking out to end that game was scary. It was terrifying. I mean, Kyle Schwarber's a large man. He's lost a little bit of weight over the past couple years, but he's still a big, scary dude, and he was livid running after the third base umpire yesterday. Javier Baez doing his best to try to hold him back, which was hilarious. And of course, Schwarber was very angry after the game as well. Still had a little bit to say. Didn't quite agree with the call, of course, but the Cubs do end up dropping that game, and they are in last place now in the National League Central, which is astounding, quite frankly. We all, going into the season, we all heard about the Pecota projections and what the statistics had to say about it, but seeing them out there now, April 14th, feels like it's February 14th, April 14th, 5-9, last place in the National League Central. Kyle Schwarber not happy about it whatsoever.
I took a look at it, and, you know, if I didn't go the first time, I didn't go the second time. You know, if you're not 100% sure, you can't call it. And, you know, I felt like that, you know, obviously I was frustrated. You know, who's not going to be frustrated when they end the game like that? And, you know, you're that close to sniffing out a run. And, you know, it was just frustrating. I just don't think that, it was a good call. I didn't think.
Yeah, well, I can understand why Kyle Schwarber wouldn't think it was a good call. He was the, I guess, the victim of what he alleged to be a bad call. And Schwarber is off to a little bit of a rough start at the plate. That might be putting it mildly, as you see the on-base percentage for Schwarber's just .263 early in the year, .192 batting average. Does have a few home runs, but I think Schwarber, from time to time, has been the victim of maybe the hype train getting a little too out of control, which is no fault of his own. Kyle Schwarber never called himself Babe Ruth, to my knowledge. This was something that was bestowed upon him since first coming up back in 2015, where, you know, you see this large left-handed hitter who has this amazing power. And of course, the lazy narrative is always going to compare him to Babe Ruth. Now, that's an extremely lofty comparison for any young left-handed hitter to be compared to perhaps the greatest hitter of all time, the greatest player of all time, because, yeah, he was a good pitcher as well. But Kyle Schwarber is a player who, through his ups and downs, has, you know, maybe struggled to maintain a little bit of consistency ever since, you know, the World Series heroics back in 2016, being able to come back in the same season from a torn ACL and be a big contributor in the Cubs World Series run that season. You know, that kind of made him a legend instantly in the city of Chicago. He already was well on his way, but the way that he was able to come back in 2016 and contribute in the World Series kind of made him a folk hero. And the expectations once again in 2017 were sky high with Schwarber coming into his first full healthy season. He was going to be 100%. Of course, that year, we all know what happened as well, where he got off to a really slow start, turned out to be sent down to the minors that year, which kind of shored him up a little bit. But it doesn't seem like Kyle Schwarber, to me, has reached these lofty expectations. And like I said, it's no fault of his own. He never went out there and held a press conference and said, I'm the next Babe Ruth. I'm an all-star. I'm going to hit 60 home runs this year. I'm going to hit 600 home runs in my career. Kyle Schwarber never said that about himself. And I think it's a little unfair, some of the expectations that were put upon him, because he never said that. But he is off to a rough start. And before the break, I mentioned there's another player on the Cubs named Kyle who's off to a little bit of a slow start in his own right. It was a guy who signed a big contract extension in the offseason, Kyle Hendricks, who is a newly rich man. And I don't want to say that I'm worried about Kyle Hendricks, because coming into this season, he would have been the guy in the rotation who I was the least worried about, due to the fact that he is considerably younger than the rest of his rotation mates, due to the fact that he's about as consistent as it gets. But now he's got an 0-3 record. He's got a 5.40 ERA, and yesterday failed to go six innings again. Didn't pitch terribly, only gave up a couple earned runs over that start yesterday in five innings, but not technically a quality start, and certainly not what you expect to see and what we have seen from Kyle Hendricks in his career as a Cub.
And Manning has a tendency to pull his starters a little too early.
Sure, sure.
I thought that would have been huge for Hendricks to go six, get his first quality start of the year, only 92 pitches through five. So you could say he was getting close to 100, but that would have been massive for him. He was pitching well after the first, and then Brock comes in and gives up a pair, and then the Cubs are down 5-2.
Yeah, Cubs bullpen yesterday, while they weren't shelled, they did give up a couple runs in that game, and you saw some people coming into that game yesterday that maybe you might not be completely familiar with, some new-ish faces. Of course, Brad Brock was signed in the offseason, but if you're not familiar with a Tim Collins or an Adam Webster, or Alan Webster, you were able to see them come in that game yesterday. So I think, if they are able to get this game in today, which, boy, that seems like a long shot here, just several hours away from the scheduled pregame show here on The Score with Zach Sabin, which will be at 12:45 this afternoon. Hopefully they can try to get this game in, but I think this is a really big game for the Cubs, and it's a little nuts that we're talking about how big these games are already in April, but when they've gotten off to the start that they've gotten off to, and you have seen struggles from not only the starting rotation, but the bullpen as well. The offense has had a couple games where they were not able to get going the way that they're capable of going at certain times when they are all at their best. But this is a big game to me today for the Cubs because they took 2 out of 3 from Pittsburgh. You know, they got back home to Wrigley despite the horrible start that they got off to in Texas and in Milwaukee. Coming back home and playing at Wrigley and playing in your home stadium is always going to be something that you should take advantage of. And they're playing the Angels this weekend, which a couple of weeks ago, maybe people wouldn't have considered to be that much of a, you know, daunting series or anything like that. And especially now with Mike Trout and his injury concerns, you haven't even been able to see him. But I don't think you can lose these home series, you know, to mediocre teams. All due respect to the Angels, who will probably be, you know, an 80 to 85 win team, all things considered, in the American League West. But when you're playing at home and you're the Cubs, you have to win these series. And I don't care that it's only April 14th. It doesn't matter if it's April or September. Anytime you're playing a series at home, you should absolutely expect to win 2 out of 3 at the bare minimum. You know, that was one of the things last year that maybe Theo Epstein and Joe Maddon had a little bit of a disagreement with. Joe Maddon always had the mantra that 2 out of 3 is perfect. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. He quoted Meatloaf oftentimes. And you heard Theo Epstein after the season kind of, I don't want to say go against that mantra, but, you know, he stressed more urgency. And that was the big narrative for the Cubs in the offseason, that they needed to be more urgent. They needed to show a little bit more intensity. Maybe they need to go for the jugular in Game 3 of a series and not just settle for 2 out of 3, but try to go for the sweep. With the loss yesterday, though, of course, the best the Cubs can do is 2 out of 3 today, and I think it's big. You have to win these home series. Now, the unfortunate aspect of today's game, and you may look at it as unfortunate or unsavory, but Tyler Chatwood is scheduled to start today's game for the Cubs. He did not make the rotation coming out of spring training, but with John Lester on the injured list, they're not calling it the disabled list anymore. Am I correct? Is it injured list, just IL? Why did they do that?
I think it was because they didn't want to. I think some people were offended that it was called the disabled list.
Oh, PC culture running mad, Eli, let me tell you. So Tyler Chatwood is on the bump today, or he will be, weather permitting. Hopefully they do get this game in. But I understand why that doesn't put a lot of confidence in Cubs fans to see Tyler Chatwood run out there, and maybe the only reason he's on this team is because of the big contract that was given out to him last year, before last year, I should say, in the offseason before last year. But I don't know what to make of the Cubs at this point. You know, I don't want to be on here and be labeled as a Cub hater, because a lot of people will call me that, and I like to have a little fun with Cub fans and certain other members of this radio station. But I understand that it's better for our business if the Cubs are good and in the race. And I just have not been able to get a read on them so far this year. They've been so up and down. The bullpen has been so erratic on a game-to-game basis. We've seen them now go through spells where in the first couple series of the year, both in Texas and in Milwaukee, the bullpen was absolutely horrible. And then since then, you know, they were very good in the Pittsburgh Pirates series. They've been okay the last first couple games of the series against the Angels. Not so much yesterday, but Friday was a pretty good performance from the pen. And I just can't get a read on what the Cubs are doing so far this year as they sit 5-9 here on April 14th. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here if you'd like to get in on the conversation regarding the Cubs or the Masters. I mentioned earlier in the program that Tiger Woods is tied for second at Augusta. He's scheduled to tee off at 8:20 Central Time this morning, searching for his first major in quite a long time at the age of 43 after all the Tiger has been through. It really is an amazing story to see him back on the final day of a major tournament, and not only a major tournament, but the major tournament, the Masters. It really is kind of taking me back to a time where Tiger was in it every single tournament, and you didn't even have to think about it. And we got so used to seeing Tiger Woods, you know, winning for fun, essentially, and just dominating the competition like almost nobody has before. And then when you saw him kind of hit some, let's say, adversity, both professionally and personally, there were a lot of people that thought that Tiger could never get back to the level that he was once at. And especially after the back injury and being at the age of 43 now, it really is wild to see him back in there. And for me personally, and I know a lot of people around my age, millennials, if you will, yes, that naughty word that we all like to condemn. For millennials and people around my age and a little bit younger, Tiger Woods is golf. And seeing him in a major and competing for a major the final day here at Augusta, it really is kind of something nostalgic and gets me going a little bit more. 312-644-6767, Greg in Waukegan. Good morning, Greg. What's up?
Good morning. I want to tell Ruria, thank you for putting in Yomar Sanchez for Rondo. Since he was the only one who got a hit yesterday, and Yomar came in, pinch hit, struck out, made an error. You know, come on, Rick. I mean, we know we got to do better as a manager. I mean, we're already struggling as it is. We don't. Yomar right now is definitely not the second baseman of the future for the White Sox. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But I'm just disappointed in really what we're doing as the organization with the White Sox. We can do a lot better. I was just disappointed with that move. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for checking in, Greg, in Waukegan. Appreciate the interaction there. Yeah, Yomar Sanchez is off to an absolutely dreadful start this year. For the Sox, he's 3-for-32 at the plate, and defensively, we've seen him make a couple errors as well. You know, Yomar Sanchez is a guy who, you know, anybody that covered the team or currently covers the team, anybody that's ever had an interaction with Yomar Sanchez will say that this guy is hilarious. He is a fun-loving dude. Everybody, all his teammates like him. You always see him after the game. You know, if there's a walk-off, he's the first one there with the bucket of Gatorade, whether he's pouring it on himself or pouring it on the guy that drove in the hit. But, you know, that kind of fun-loving, everybody likes you stuff, kind of that works when you're able to produce. In the last couple of years, you know, Yomar Sanchez was a useful player in terms of his defensive ability to play multiple positions, his versatility on the diamond. You know, you saw him at second base, at third base a little bit last year as well, could play short in a pinch. Switch hitter, a little bit versatile at the plate as well. Not a guy who was ever a great hitter, but certainly somebody you could put in there in a major league lineup on a day-to-day basis and give you a decent effort. But what you've seen from Yomar so far this year has been pretty dreadful. And to the caller's point, Rick Renteria putting him in the game yesterday to pinch hit, you know, I don't quite understand that as well. I don't know why you'd put in a guy to pinch hit when he's only got three hits on the season. But also, looking at it from another angle, Rick Renteria can only use the players that are on his roster. You know, the old saying goes, who's buying the groceries and who's cooking the meal? You know, Ricky can only cook the meal with what was given to him by Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. So I've not been completely happy with a lot of stuff that Ricky Renteria has done so far this year either. I'm not saying that he's blameless in the White Sox being off to a 4-9 start here this year, but at the end of the day, it's all about talent, and we've seen bad managers accomplish really great things because they have had a tremendous amount of talent on their roster. And I don't think it's fair to judge Rick Renteria quite yet. I don't think it's fair to judge any manager when they've been given really bad rosters like the White Sox have had over the past couple years. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. If you'd like to chime in on the conversation to talk about Tiger Woods at the Masters, as he is tied for second here going into the final day at Augusta. If you'd like to weigh in on the Cubs, another loss for them yesterday. Hopefully, weather permitting, they can get back at Wrigley today and go for a win with Tyler Chatwood on the hill. I'm sure you're very confident about that. Cubs fans, also want to talk a little bit more about the White Sox and Eloy Jimenez in particular. At 8 o'clock, we'll have Chris Swick in studio from Yahoo Sports, great baseball writer. We'll talk to him about the Cubs, the White Sox, a couple of other things. And I'd love to talk to you as well. 312-644-6767. My name is Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9, taking you up to Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score.
And now the 2-1 with the bases loaded. Line drive, base hit to left. This will drive in a run. And the inning is turning into a very difficult one for Kyle Hendricks. 4 singles. A run is in. It is now 2-0.
Welcome back in, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning. Then it will be time for The Score's venerable baseball program, Hit and Run, with Matt Spiegel. Unfortunately for Spiegs and everyone else involved in the program, they will not be at the Smoke Daddy outside Wrigley Field today, which is a bummer because of the weather, but Spiegs will be in here in studio at 9 o'clock with all of his baseball thoughts, and I'm sure he's got plenty of them. After a very, very interesting weekend in the Chicago baseball world, on the way in there, you heard the voice of Pat Hughes, and what a lovely voice it is from the legend himself. Although not a lovely result yesterday if you are a Cubs fan, as they were defeated 6-5 by the Los Angeles Angels. And once again, Kyle Hendricks, not the greatest start from him, a little bit of an improvement from what you've seen from him over his first couple of starts. It was his longest start of the year, and he did just have the one walk, which is it's good, because if Kyle Hendricks is walking guys, that's going to be a huge problem for him. But again, not a quality start. Did allow those 6 hits in just 5 innings, and the whip well above 2 for Hendricks, which means that he is allowing nearly 2.5 base runners per every inning that he is in there, which is not sustainable. It's not what you're used to seeing from Kyle Hendricks. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here, talking about a few different topics. The Masters, of course. I would imagine that even if you are not a huge golf nut like myself, I would never classify myself as a golf nut. A nut in general, sure, that's fair to say, but not a golf nut, but I'm always interested when Tiger Woods is in the mix on the final day of a major tournament, and he is indeed in the mix today as he is tied for second behind Francesco Molinari. The Italian is leading the field at Augusta. They will be teeing off at 8:20 this morning. Interested in seeing if you out there have any more interest in the Masters this weekend with Tiger Woods in the mix. Does Tiger being involved kind of amplify your enjoyment and your interest in the Masters? 312-644-6767. Talking about the Cubs, as I just mentioned, they lost 6-5 yesterday. They've got Tyler Chatwood on the bump today. And the White Sox as well. They were shut out yesterday at Yankee Stadium 4-0, but Friday night, a very enjoyable game as Eloy Jimenez hit his first 2 major league home runs. Couple of bombs, by the way. Those were not cheapies. He hit the absolute crap out of both of those home run balls on Friday. I want to talk a little bit more about Eloy later on as well. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the north side with our buddy Crawley. Morning, man. What's going on?
Oh, man, dude. I don't know. I'm hungover. I'm dressed to go to a Cubs game like I'm going to a Bears game. The bullpen that I of my team walked pretty much a Triple-A team to lose the game yesterday. It's just little frustrating. The point I was going to make, though, is that, you know, you saw the 2016 Cubs get out to a roaring start But then 17 and 18, it has the same feel as 19. They just get out to these stuttering, sputtering starts. And the difference is that the other top-tier teams in the division have all gotten better. And you can't sit there and just say to yourself, oh, well, we'll just come back eventually, da-da-da. We can't wait for Kyle Hendricks to start pitching. And we can't wait for Chris Bryant to kind of get going. And we can't wait for this, that, or the other. This is not going to happen. Not with the division looking the way it is. So I'm concerned that if they just can't get to a consistent point, you know, you're really going to be doing a lot of scoreboard chasing later, and then it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much, Crawley. Big contributor to the station in general and a longtime listener. Hope that they can get that game in today, buddy. I'm sure you've got all those layers on as you head down to Wrigley Field today. But, you know, you're absolutely right. The beginning of this season has definitely been more similar to what you saw back in 2018 and 2017, where the Cubs did not get off to a huge start like they did back in the World Series championship year of 2016. 2017, it was blamed on the World Series hangover, which I never liked that excuse one bit. You can't be hungover after you've had 3 months off. It doesn't quite work that way. Last year, a lot of inconsistencies with the offense at times. It seemed a little bit boom or bust. And of the Yu Darvish saga, we've been over that so many times. You know, every time Yu Darvish goes out there, it's another issue with him. And then this year, the bullpen has been the culprit for most of the season. Yesterday, I said earlier in the show, they were okay yesterday, which was probably giving them a little bit too much credit. I just say that they were okay because they didn't give up 6 runs like we were seeing them do earlier in the season. But, you know, Crawley was spot on. Too many walks there from guys like Kyle Ryan, Tim Collins, and Alan Webster, Randy Rosario. That's just not the kind of performance and effort you need from the bullpen when you're trying to stay in a close game. And maybe if the bullpen had been a little bit more effective yesterday, you know, the 5 runs could have been enough potentially to win that game for the Cubs. And another thing that Crawley brought up there that he's absolutely right about, the rest of the teams in this division, I mean, beyond Milwaukee, because we knew how good Milwaukee was going to be. They won the damn thing last season. And we knew that with their additions that they made as well, you know, bringing in a guy like Yasmani Grandal, amongst other additions that they've made, they were reloading and they were trying to get better and better. The Cardinals acquired Paul Goldschmidt. He's one of the best hitters in the National League. The Reds made a bunch of big moves. Every team in this division worked to get better except for the Cubs. And you can say, yeah, Bryan will bounce back and the pitching staff will even out. We'll get a full season out of Darvish and the bullpen will do this and that. You can't rely on ifs and maybes and bounce backs when you're in a division that's this tough. This is not the National League Central from 2016, where you've got bottom feeders like Cincinnati. Cincinnati is much improved. And while they're, of course, not going to compete for the National League Central title, in my opinion, I think they're a couple years off from that. They're not going to lose 100 games again this season either. And that's where the Cubs were kind of, you know, beating up on Cincinnati quite a bit the last few years. And that's kind of one of the reasons they were able to build up in the division with wins from the kind of bottom feeders in the National League. You're not going to have that in the division this year. And even though we can go back and say it's early, it's only April 14th, and there's a lot of time to make up. Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of time to make up, but the Cubs are in last place right now. And if you back yourself into a corner, or if you dig yourself into a wall this early in the season, it's just going to make it more and more difficult to kind of dig your way out of it. And especially, like I said, with everybody else in this division improved from where they were last season, except for the Cubs, because they didn't really do a damn thing in the offseason. 312-644-6767, Brian in East Chicago. Morning, Brian. What's up?
Good morning. You stole a lot of my thunder there, I want to tell you. But I'm going to tell you something. I said from last year, me personally, to a couple of friends, Ricketts, he needs to restructure that entire pitching staff from all the way from their minor league system all the way up here. And as you said, other teams have improved. They have not stayed the same. I don't know why Ricketts can't understand this, that he thinks he can coast with the same, basically, the same pitching staff and team that he had last year. And everybody's greatly improved. I don't get this. And for the Cubs, I want to say this. getting Darvish. I don't know what genius said, hey, let's go out and get Hugh Darvish. The Dodgers, the Yankees, Boston, they have a tradition of bringing up star pitchers. Now, if the Dodgers got rid of this guy with the record that he was having, why would the Cubs pick him up?
Well, I'll answer the question and appreciate the call, Brian. Thank you for checking in from the 219. The quote-unquote genius that decided to bring in Yu Darvish was Theo Epstein. And I do think Theo Epstein is an incredibly bright guy. And his track record with the Cubs and with the Red Sox, you know, it speaks for itself. The guy has got multiple World Series championships. And the Red Sox, really, you could make the argument that while he hasn't been there in quite some time, you know, the foundation that he set all those years ago is kind of what they have been able to continue to build upon with Dave Dombrowski there now. But Theo Epstein, for all of the praise and all of the great moves that he has made, and he has made a ton of them, and he's been extremely successful, his track record in free agency has always kind of been one of his, we'll say, blind spots. You know, he's given out some bad deals in Boston. We all remember the Carl Crawford deal, the J.D. Drew contract. Daisuke Matsusaka was not exactly a home run as a starting pitcher either. Now, Jason Hayward is off to a fantastic start here in 2019. We'll see if he's able to sustain that, but he's completely overpaid. Even if he keeps this up this year, it's not going to make up for the lack of production from Jason Hayward from the previous few seasons. Tyler Chatwood, we've been over that contract a lot. Yu Darvish, that's a really bad contract. So Theo Epstein giving out these bad deals before 2018 has restricted the Cubs, and it did restrict the Cubs from going out into free agency this year, when the only major acquisition that Epstein made for this year's team was Daniel Descalso, who, again, off to a pretty good start this year, but he's a utility infielder. He's not a game changer. He's not a guy that's going to push you over the hump, you know, back to the division championship where the Cubs kind of have stayed over the past few years. And a lot has been made about Tom Ricketts and him not wanting to spend, and if he gets a little testy when that's brought up to him, and he's like, oh, well, we have the second highest payroll in baseball. Yeah, that's true, Tom. You're absolutely right about that. But, you know, you couldn't have freed up $9 million to sign Adam Ottavino and get a power righty in your bullpen. You know, Andrew Miller was a free agent. You couldn't have shored up $11 million to sign Andrew Miller.
Granted, he's not doing too well for himself in St. Louis.
No, and you're right about that. But you're telling me Andrew Miller wouldn't be a welcome addition to the Cubs bullpen? Even though he has struggled a little bit, he's still Andrew Miller. And I know he was hurt a little bit last year. And it doesn't even have to be Andrew Miller. I'm just using that as an example. There were a lot of free agent bullpen arms on the market. None of them would have cost you $50 million to invest in, except for maybe Craig Kimbrell. And God knows he's still out there looking for a contract. But, you know, I don't like to hear the Cubs organization complain about not having money, because just take a walk around Wrigley Field and try telling me that they don't have any money. They are basically printing money there, and they could have easily freed up money to shore up the bullpen. All right, after a quick timeout here, we are going to bring in Yahoo Sports baseball man Chris Swick. He is, I think, in studio if he made it over here in these horrible conditions outside, but excited to talk baseball with Chris. He's going to be in studio for the next hour. And then more baseball for you at 9 o'clock when Matt Spiegel takes over on Hit and Run, hopefully taking you up to Chicago Cubs baseball, pregame scheduled for 12:45. My name is Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9 o'clock. More baseball talk coming up next with Chris Swick here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.